Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. We are going to start out today by, and finish today, by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 888. Mazin.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 888, you know, this would have been a great bill if it was August 8, 2008.
It's true.
Fortunate. August.
We're not going to be here, Madam Chair. It's 9-9.
I wasn't here on August 8th.
We darn well better not be here, Senator Morris.
So this bill, in few descriptions, Madam Chair, will take the definition, the allows service providers, that's primarily, as you would see defined on line 10, as a water, sewer, and stormwater services, and determine that anything that is above two units will be the responsibility of the property owner, and allows, and also down into the bill mandates those unpaid bills to be folded into the property tax estimates that are levied on the property that you would find in the second page on subsection 5, and that's line 8 on that page. Now, this there is some precedence in the statute with this, as you would see in section 2. The section 2 is actually amending out the old language, and the old language has in it similar amounts of responsibility assignment for property owner, but this one comes with five or more units of and a single water meter and so on. Same thing on the subsection 2 of section 2. And the rest of the bill just refers back to the new sections that this bill is being introduced by. So this is what this bill tries and attempts to do, members of the committee.
Okay, thank you, Mazin. So the main thrust of it is to lower the threshold for holding the owner responsible from 5 to 2 dwelling units.
And allow these to be folded into the property tax collection process.
Correct. Okie dokie. We will start out with a panel. Ruth Spetter, David Schaff, and Dan Eisenbeis. To the committee, who wants to start?
I will, if you don't mind. Thank you. For the record, my name is David Schaff, and I'm the administrator of the Portland Water Bureau. Commissioner Randy Leonard sends his appreciation to the committee for hearing this bill. He is still tied up in City Council today, which is why I'm here. And with me today is Ruth Spetter from the Portland City Attorney's Office. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, thank you for hearing Senate Bill 888 today. The bill would expand the tools currently available to publicly owned water and sewer utilities to collect unpaid debts in multifamily dwellings. The existing mechanisms for collection currently are cumbersome, ineffective, and time-consuming, resulting in lost revenue and placing the burden on the customers who do pay their bills in the form of rate increases. 888 makes the tools currently available to holders of either water or sewer debt available to collect both kinds of debt, and provides the flexibility needed to use the most effective tool for each case. Under the current law, water and sewer providers are limited in the ways that unpaid debt can be collected. So, for instance, with water, you may only rely on shutoff or liens. So the City of Portland has generally not shut off multifamily dwellings because it's a hardship on the tenants who have paid their rent, the water is typically provided as part of their rent. Liens, on the other hand, can be a very slow way to collect, as we have to wait until a property is sold or refinanced, that sort of thing. Liens are also restricted to multifamily dwellings of 5 or more units, which fails to account for 70% of of the multifamily units that are provided or that are served by the Portland Water Bureau. Shutoff is not available for those accounts that are sewer only, and we have many of those in the city of Portland. For sewer collection, you may rely on legal action or, in the case of sewer-only accounts, assign the sewer charges to the county tax assessor for collection. Legal action, of course, as you know, is costly, whereas assigning debts to the tax collector allows collection once a year. Assigning debt to a county tax assessor is applicable to all accounts, not just multifamily, but single-family accounts as well. But this tool is not available to collect unpaid water debt. And then lastly, collection agencies. Service providers always have the option of using debt collection agencies that may pursue legal action as well. But our experience is that our success rate averages just about 15%, so we don't collect very much as a result of that. As of February of 2009, the city of Portland had more than $1.6 million in uncollected debt from multifamily accounts that were more than 30 days past due. Of that, $880,000 is more than 60 days past due. Now, that figure represents approximately a 36% delinquency rate among our multifamily accounts. That's high. It's very high, and it's typical. It has nothing to do with the current downturn in the economy. That's just where we are. Now, collection through the tax assessor is annual and has proven to be an effective tool for chronic non-payers for sewer-only accounts. So, for example, from 1992 to 2004, the city of Portland had not assigned any delinquent accounts to the county tax assessor for collection. When we resumed that in 2004, we assigned 681 accounts for a total of little over $1.4 million. Then in 2007, that number dropped down to 151 accounts for just over $250,000, and in 2008, it was 215 accounts for just slightly less than $250,000. We believe that extending this tool to water accounts would have similar results. We would see a first-year spike with a high number of accounts and dollar amounts, and then the following years would see a much more manageable and consistent number of delinquent accounts that get referred to a tax assessor. We estimate, for example, a 95% recovery rate for if we were able to use the tax assessor collection method, should we be able to apply it across the board and not simply as a last resort. Reducing the total of debt due to service providers and doing so more efficiently ultimately lowers the cost of providing the service and it benefits ratepayers, including the tenants of multifamily dwellings. With liens and collection through the property tax system available, shutoff need not be relied upon as a first step. At the same time, the threat of shutoff and its consequences for landlords can be an effective tool in some circumstances and employed when rental units are empty or in ways which minimally impact tenants. And another piece of this, an important piece of this legislation, redefines multifamily dwellings as one consisting of two or more units. Current water law defines multifamily as five or more units, and sewer law makes no distinction for collection purposes. So aside from creating uniformity across water and sewer law, it captures those dwellings, such as duplexes, which are often owned and occupied by the same party but otherwise escape debt collection or shut off by being included in the multifamily category. And as I mentioned, approximately 70% of Portland's multifamily dwellings consists of complexes of four or fewer units. Senate Bill 888 simplifies the law and will make collection practices more effective and efficient. We urge your passage of the bill, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Before we move on to the others, I'm a little confused. You said that that this would, by lowering it to two, it would capture dwellings such as duplexes, which are often escape debt collection or shut off by being included in the multifamily category. Mm-hmm. But this would include them in the multifamily category.
Would include the duplexes, triplexes and fourplexes in the definition of multifamily dwelling. Right now, the law is five or more is considered a multifamily dwelling. So with this change and the changes in our ability to assign these to the tax rolls, we would be able to better collect on those dwellings that are that would escape, that we would not otherwise be able to assign to the tax rolls.
I see. Okay. It's phrased. It says something different, I think, so I'm glad you clarified that. Okay. Are there other questions, since I already broke the question barrier? Senator Tilford.
I do have a question. If a duplex does, in fact, have two different water meters, what happens then?
Then they would be two separate accounts. We are talking about multi...
As far as the tax collection, because it's one piece of real property.
But, Senator, we're talking about properties that are served by one meter. So a multi... And typically, that's the case. But there are certainly duplexes in Portland that have two meters, and those are two separate accounts.
Follow-up question. Please. And the reason I ask is... the city of Bend just dealt with this a year ago, and I was on the city council, and we did it by ordinance there. And we did have a number of these issues that came up where, you know, what do you do when there are two meters and somebody is current with one, and what happens when it's not the property owner that's paying the water bill, it's the tenant that's paying the water bill. So, you know, the cities are all... There are other cities, and I assume we're going to get from the League of Cities some sort of input here, but... Is this a Portland bill, or is this, because cities are different in the way they have these issues?
We are certainly the sponsor, and I think what we would do is typically in those circumstances, we would be looking at those as single family accounts, and we would shut off. That's typically our first course of action, is to shut off, because then generally we get the non-paying customer's attention and they pay and then we move on. This would be really when we're unsuccessful in our efforts at collecting the debt that's due.
So basically the purpose of the bill, I think Senator Telfer, is to make sure that innocent people who are paying the water bill in their rent, it's included in their rent, are not penalized by the failure of someone else to pay the bill. So if you had somebody, people renting in the account in their name, then that person is responsible for that bill, and if the water shuts off, it affects only them because they're the only one on the meter. This is just for a case where there are multiple people on the same meter. Is that correct?
Well, I was concerned more about the leaning, because now you're leaning property where there are some in compliance, some not, and the property owner may or may not know for lots of reasons that somebody's delinquent if they're not the ones paying the water bill. So.
In which case, that may just not be one of our options, and we would go with the shutoff. But in most of the cases that we're talking about a property that's served by a master meter, and it affects anywhere from 200 to several hundred people, most of whom are paying their rent on time and doing everything they're supposed to do as tenants, and it's the property owner who has decided not to pay their water bill or their sewer bill.
Appreciate that. Madam Chair, I think I'll wait till hear from the League of Cities, because you know other cities have different issues.
Okay.
Senator Morris.
Thank you. In the event that you have the tenants paying the utilities, does this then actually create within the landlord the duty to collect? So you're essentially transferring to the landlord the collection function?
Well, the bill as it's written, Senator, would allow a service provider with notice, after giving notice to the property owner, I believe it's 60 days, the property owner is responsible for, is considered the ultimate user of the service. So when we, for instance, open account for a tenant as a matter of courtesy, and then we are not able to collect from that, with notice we are then able to assign that to the property owner and collect from the property owner. So we're trying to, as much as possible, make it as easy as possible for a property owner to have the tenant do all of the things like pay their garbage, sewer, water, et cetera, but ultimately, if the service isn't paid for, it goes back to the property owner.
Okay.
Is that current law now?
For multifamily units of five or more.
Of five or more, so it drops that threshold down to two or more.
Okay. And I imagine this is because it's fairly common, I think, to have a common water meter, but it's but other utilities, electricity and gas, are typically paid for by the tenant. Do you happen to know whether those are the same kind of system, whether they, if you don't pay your electric bill, does that come back to the owner?
Well, as in general terms, I think that's true of power. They're usually separate meters, and so the power company will simply cut off the power to that particular unit. I'm not as certain about other utilities such as gas.
Okay. All right. And before we move on to the other witness, I'm just curious as to what kind of a situation would you have where someone had only sewer service and not water service. This is a new one on me.
It's probably more of a relic of the City of Portland and annexation. The City of Portland provides sewer service to, for instance, the Rockwood area in East Portland, East Multnomah County. We do not provide them the water service. That's provided by the Rockwood PUD. Okay. So we have sewer-only accounts.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, Daniel Eisenbeis with the League of Oregon Cities. So this bill is brought to you by the City of Portland. I think the League supports Senate Bill 888 because we recognize that in consolidating the various tools in order to collect on delinquent payments for water, wastewater, and stormwater bills, it provides more flexibility to cities, assuring that cities can operate in a more cost-effective, efficient, and in certain cases, humane manner. With that, thank you for your consideration, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you. Senator Telfer, did you want to ask any of your questions about other cities?
Well, I'll respond to your last question with my own example. I live in the city limits of Bend. My water is supplied by Avion, which is not a city, but my sewer is city. Hmm. So under this proposal, if I didn't pay my water bill, they would shut off my water, obviously. No need for sewer bill, but they'd shut off my water. They don't have that ability. They don't have that right of collection, whereas the City of Bend, I have a number of pieces of property that have City of Bend water to them. And so the cities get the advantage of this. No other utility does, whether it's gas, electric, or another water supplier, too. So this is definitely for cities only. And my question then is also in the rural area, unlike Portland, our water is a little different. I mean, I'm a perfect example where I don't have city water, and I don't have that fear of getting my house leaned if I don't pay my water bill. I'm not proposing I don't pay my water bill. Anyway, you may take that wrong. But, you know, this is definitely for cities only, but all cities don't have water service the same. And I think in the City of Bend, what we did was I think I voted no then, and I may vote no here, but what they did was the tenants who were responsible for their own water bill, and unbeknownst to the owner, weren't paying their water bill, all of a sudden there was a lien on the property, and the owners didn't know about this, the owner of the property. So it was unfair to the owner of the property all of a sudden have a lien on their property. I think one discovered it when they went to refinance their property or something, and this lien showed up that they didn't know their tenants hadn't paid the water bill for some time. Anyway, it became difficult, but I was more concerned with the fact that everybody doesn't operate like Portland with their water system. So,
if I may, one of the provisions of this bill is that we would not be able to transfer the responsibility for that water bureau to the property owner without notice to the property owner. So if you had a tenant who, unbeknownst to the landlord, was not paying their water bill and collection efforts have failed, then under this bill, before we could make the property owner responsible, we would have to give that property owner notice that you are now responsible for the water consumption at the property that you own.
Follow up, please. I also understand that sometimes that notice is never really received by the property owner, so you would have to have some assurance that the property owner was made aware of this, certified mail or something, so they're getting that little green card back. And I'm having difficulty with why a property owner should be responsible for somebody else's use of water when it's not their it's not their legal responsibility necessarily.
Under the current law, it is their responsibility if it's a multifamily dwelling of five or more. I would argue that if you're the property owner of just a single family, you have certain responsibilities, and you can certainly deal with that simply by saying that as the property owner, I'm responsible for everything, and I will roll that into your bill. I understand that. You know, you can want to say, well, I want my tenant to be responsible, and then they'll be more responsible about their usage because they will conserve, they will not waste, they will fix leaks, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's the question of who gets left holding the bag, and ultimately the rate payers, everybody ends up getting left holding the bag if water is consumed or services are consumed and everybody turns around and says, well, it's not me, it's them, it's and vice versa.
Well, under current law, if the scenario that Senator Telfer is talking about where you have, say, in a duplex,
mm-hmm.
it's separately metered duplexes,
okay.
and one of the tenants, and neither one is occupied by the owner,
okay.
One of the tenants fails to pay their bill. Right now, how do you handle that now in regards to liens and that sort of thing?
Well, we would shut them off.
So just shut them off. So
we would shut them off.
So it wouldn't be necessarily a problem. I mean, I don't think that's the problem you're trying to get at here. Because I have concerns too about the lien authority in a place where the owner will not get notified or whatever. I'm also glad in the rental that I own that I pay the water bill after hearing all this. and I'm really going to be on time now.
60 days, yeah.
60 days. I'm looking back now. Did I ever do that? Maybe I'm a part of that statistic. But anyway, I digress. If there were some protections put in for the people that currently have protections from liens, property owners, I presume that wouldn't harm the intent of this bill.
No.
Because you already have the lien authority for units over five. Five and over.
Right. We currently have the ability to shut off and to lien all properties. What this does is it allows us to transfer, or it allows us a tool that we don't have that sewer-only accounts do. It would allow us to transfer or assign the debt due to the county tax rolls. That's one of the two primary benefits to a water provider, is it gives them a tool that they don't have now, and it changes the definition of that multifamily dwelling.
So if you transferred it, I guess it's the same issue. It's not as serious as a lien, but if you transferred the debt to the owner through the county tax rolls, is the owner notified?
Yes. Again, in the section section 1, sub 2, the service provider has to provide the owner of the property within 60 days after the due date for the charges to the last known property owner on file with the service provider. So there is a notice provision. Before you can do any of this, you have to notify the property owner that, guess what, you're now on the hook for this bill.
Okay, and so changing this to certified mail maybe wouldn't be a fatal change either,
no.
Correct? Okay. Senator Telfer.
A couple last things. Given the city differences in my neck of the woods, on the other side of the mountains where it's very dry, we have irrigation water. And so property owners many times will have the tenant pay the water because summertime water bill can be $150. I don't think you have that problem over here on this side of the mountains as much.
Oh, it's getting there.
And because of irrigation and et cetera. And so we many times don't, a property owner does not have the water bill in the tenant, in part of the lease. And so, and many times the tenants move and the owner doesn't even know they've moved, and all of a sudden they're getting this notice, if in fact they get it, that says all of a sudden they're on the hook for, you know, $450 for water they didn't use. I just don't understand how you can transfer that responsibility and liability to somebody who was not the user of the product, the water.
Well, in effect, you are transferring the liability to all the ratepayers if you don't. That's ultimately that's what happens, is that the ratepayers end up making up the difference. If that debt goes uncollected, if the tenant moves out, the property owner isn't responsible, then that debt is going to be picked up by the ratepayers.
Just follow up. I still understand the legal ability to transfer a liability to somebody who did not incur the expense. I don't, you know, granted it's unfair to the ratepayers. Things like that happen all over, whether it be medical insurance or whatever. But so I really can't go along with that argument. But you're transferring a liability to somebody who did not incur the expense. And I just question the legality of that.
The service is to the property, and the property owner is ultimately responsible for their property.
Because, you know, the electric, I've had tenants bail out on their electric bills, and no one ever came after me as the owner for the electric bill. And I'm just wondering how the electric utilities handle this.
I'm sure they'd like to.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going to. Okay.
I suppose they could write a bill, too.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony, and stick around because we may drag you back here after we hear our next witnesses. Diane Belt and Gary Bartholomew.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, committee members. For the record, my name is Diane Belt, and I represent the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors. And I think we kind of marked neutral on the bill, but maybe leaning a little the other way. I think one of the things, and I apologize for not having a little more information. We didn't really hear about this until about Thursday, so this is kind of off the cuff. I think one of the things I would just like to say to the committee is that it is a property tax bill, and we do collect the taxes that the voters approve and levy and say that they want to pay for these services, they want to pay for schools and the things that they want to pay for. The proponents of the bill are correct. Currently, there are some, by statute, there are some districts that can collect delinquent water notices, right, Gary?
Sewer.
Or sewer. But I believe it's Multnomah County. I know Washington County doesn't do it, and I have not had an opportunity to contact the other counties, but it's nothing that we've ever really talked about. So my assumption is at this point that it's probably maybe strictly a Multnomah County issue. Our counties are strapped. It's getting pretty lean, and any time we look at something new that's going to go on to the tax roll or affect the way we collect taxes, we're going to be a little bit concerned about that. So one of the things that we would probably like to suggest that is this is something that the committee would like to pursue and push forward, that there be a fee for the tax collector and assessor to process this collection. A couple of things, too, in the bill itself. There's a few issues in the language. One of the things that we don't see in the bill is that if there's an erroneous assessment, folks were talking about, if a property has sold and the sewer assessment was given to us in a different name, we don't want to be the mediator. There needs to be something in here that specifically states that any kind of an error or any kind of an assessment that was sent in error is really not the county's responsibility, because we've already distributed those funds. It needs to be between the district and the taxpayer themselves. Another problem that we could see with the bill was specifically in, was it Section 5? No, it was Paragraph 5, Section 1, I think. It talked about that the charges must be certified after July 15th and on or before the following July 15th, and then it kind of refers to statutes where we do advanced collections of the roll. And I'm not really sure that would be the intent of this, because what we would end up doing then is kind of collecting these fees throughout the year and then putting them on the tax roll and then certifying, and then 370 also refers to refunds or bills, balances due. And I'm not sure that would be the intent or something that we would want to see stay in the bill. Other than that, I have some concerns in that, does this open the door further for other folks to come to the tax collector to collect bills? Because if they're having a problem collecting the bill and it goes on to the tax bill and the people don't pay, then we've just assumed their responsibility for collection, because we collect it. We have to collect it as well. And depending upon the amount of the bill, there are some cases when we do certify our tax roll, some counties will go through and look at the amounts that have been levied. And there is, under 311.392, the county does have an option to advance the municipalities their total amount, and then they add that collection rate to the county's rate, and then the county collects it. So that way the district isn't getting a turnover check for $5.52. So there's a possibility then that the district could get their funds in full and then the county is left with collecting the balance. Then I also had some questions. Senator Telfer was also talking about if it's a tenant, then do they lien the property owner? Then are we going to get a call from the property owner? Then there's a lot of questions in my mind. And before anybody proceeds any further with this, I would sure like to think that we could flesh out some of the problems. But I can tell you the counties are lean and mean right now, and we don't want any more responsibilities than we have to take at this point. So I'll let Gary finish up.
Thank you.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I'm Gary Bartholomew, also representing the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors, and I'm employed at Multnomah County as the tax manager. I'll just be brief. Diane covered most of it. We have the same comments about concern about, as was presented, this would increase the workload. At Multnomah County, we do handle these accounts for City of Portland, I believe, since 2004, and also for City of Gresham and City of Fairview. So it is a piece of work for us. I would agree with what was presented, that we do collect these amounts, 95%. I thought actually about 97% after the 3% discount. But there is some work involved, and we would certainly be interested in a process where we would be compensated in some way for the additional workload. Not disputing what is the most efficient way to collect the taxes. Some of the language in the bill, as Diane referred to, is taken from the existing ORS 454.225 for the present process, which limits to sewer costs only, which so is fairly limited now. So this would expand the number of accounts this could apply to, and we understand it's aimed at multifamily, but it does allow even for a single family residence. And I do believe, probably as was the testimony that this would be a last resort, but the way the bill is written, it could be done at an earlier time. The existing bill requires only if you're not able to curtail the service in some way that you could certify to the tax collector. So the costs that we incur are various costs of reviewing the filing form. They have to file a form similar to other tax levies and entering on the tax roll, set up and billing and taxpayer and service provider contacts. And sometimes we also deal with some corrections prior to certification and some other issues like that. Eventually, delinquent billings and foreclosure if that becomes the case. Some of the issues we frequently deal with are situations where it turns out that the taxes or the charges had in fact been paid, but they've been certified to us, so how is that fixed, or the ownership has changed and things like that. So there's just some things like that that we end up dealing with. And I think that'll conclude my comments. We can answer any questions.
Okay, well, you already do this with sewer only. You have this mechanism available to you with sewer only, right?
Chair Burdick, that's correct.
And then how are you compensated for that, or did you just have to absorb that into your budget when that was made?
Right, Chair Burdick. It's just involved in our overall collection costs.
Okay. And how long has that been going on, do you know, in Multnomah County? Is it since the time of the annexations, I think, during the 80s, 70s?
I know it's been since I've been employed in Multnomah County since 88. It was in the law. I'm not sure prior to that when the law became.
And so how often does this happen? I mean, is this a frequent thing or a relatively infrequent thing with the sewers?
Oh, no, we get quite a few of them. Each year, it varies a little bit from year to year.
And how do you resolve some of the issues that you brought up with sewers, like, you know, incorrect certifications and that type of thing?
Right, Chair Burdick. Generally, we've been able to come to an agreement on that and use some existing statutes, but it's not real clear. So we're just suggesting that maybe that could be more clear here. I'm sure you probably understand that once they certify those amounts to us, they go on the tax roll and it becomes part of our percentage distribution schedule. So they will receive basically all of 97% of those funds. So if there's a correction, it really wouldn't be for the county to try to correct the error on our books and issue the refund from the unsegregated property tax fund. So,
Senator Telford.
Thank you. I don't know. I know in my community, sewer rates don't change. Water rate, the amount somebody's paying for water changes depending on its usage, but sewer rate doesn't seem to change because most of that's irrigation. In Multnomah County, is there a major fluctuation in the sewer bill that somebody pays from month to month? So that it would be easier to do this within that if there's not a huge amount of fluctuation.
Chair Burdick, Senator Telfer, I'm not the expert on that, but I do receive a bill in the city of Portland, and the sewer assessment there's a lot of fixed charges on both the water and the sewer portion of the bill, but the sewer portion does fluctuate based on the water volume. I think they have a base they use, so if you, you know, in the summer they don't charge you, they use your winter average, I think, if I'm not mistaken, but it does fluctuate.
The sewer rates are based on a percentage of your water usage. Mm. And so the base for that is set during the winter when people aren't watering their yards. And then in the summer, the ratio will change to account for irrigation.
If I may. And that's helpful because I know in my area, and much of the area east of the Cascades, the sewer bill doesn't, and it's a lot easier to roll that into somebody's rent because you know what it's going to be versus a water bill that fluctuates all over the place, you know, hundreds of dollars in the course of a month, which is very hard to put into somebody's lease or rent, and whereas the sewer, it's much easier to do that because it doesn't fluctuate.
Okay. Other questions for the Senator Morris?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would I be correct to assume that the reason the sewer is lienable is because you, as a practical matter, you can't shut it off?
Chair Burdick, Senator Morse, I believe that's correct. The way the present law is written, that they can only certify that to the assessor for collection if they're not able to, in conjunction with another service, curtail that service. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I guess it begs the question of, you know, if the threat or actual imposition and action to shut off the water is not sufficient to pay. Back to Senator Telfer's question, is it fair for the person that didn't use the water to be responsible for paying it? I don't know, that's maybe a philosophical question in some ways. I suppose landlords would find some way to reserve for that in their fees if you pass this bill.
Well, I think I'll take it upon myself to find out how the electric utilities do it and the gas company, because it's very similar.
They shut it off.
Yeah, they shut it off. And the water can be shut off, too. So this would, I guess where I'm stumbling a little bit is if you lower it to 2 units, then that's a little different issue than, you know, if you have a duplex and maybe they're separately metered, we might have to bring the other panel back to see if I'm understanding this correctly. But if you have a duplex and they're separately metered and yet this is covered under this, that's where the problem is, because you really could shut it off as a technique in those cases. Are there other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't we bring back the water folks here? Okay, if you could identify yourself again.
For the record, I'm David Schaff. I'm the administrator of the Portland Water Bureau.
Okay, thank you. So when this goes down to 2 units, I'm getting confused now. I think I understood it before and now I don't. If in the scenario where you have a duplex where you have separate metering and they're both rentals, and say one of them doesn't pay their bill, under current law, would you have the ability to move against the owner for collection?
Under current law, it's limited to a multifamily building with 5 or more units with a single water meter.
Okay.
So the result under the proposal is that under your scenario, if there were separate meters, we would not be moving against or trying to place a lien. We'd be shutting off the one account that is not paying, and going after, going through collection processes against that account. Most of these...
Against the account, not the owner.
Right.
Okay, so this bill, say you had a duplex that was on 1 meter. So under this bill, you would be able to put this on the property tax rolls?
Senator Burnett, that's correct. We would, if we were unsuccessful in either we chose not to turn it off or we turned it off and we're still not able to collect, we could eventually put it over to the property tax rolls. If we went through the process of giving the 60-day notice to the property owner that they are now the responsible party for the unpaid debt.
All right. Other questions from the committee? Senator Telfer.
Why not apply this then to all residential structures, whether they be owner-occupied single-family residences or tenant-occupied single-family residences?
Senator Burnett, Senator Telfer, I think we have the ability, our greatest strength, or our best collection method is the ability to shut off. And we can do that whether it's a single family or a multifamily dwelling right now. We are looking for alternative tools that exist over on the sewer-only side to allow us to take into consideration the fact that if we have an apartment complex that has 200 people in it, shutting the water off to those 200 people is not a great customer service, and that being able to transfer that unpaid debt either to a lien or to the property tax rolls is a way to collect the debt without affecting the people who live in those buildings and who are paying their rent on a regular basis. That's a tool that we don't have and that we're really looking for. So, yes, we could do that. My aunt lives in Calaroga Terrace. She's 91 years old, and it's a 17-floor complex of retirements. I could shut that water off if Calaroga Terrace decides not to pay their water bill. I would not do that. It's just not the sort of thing that we would do. But we don't have much in the way of power, especially if Calaroga Terrace knows that we're not going to shut that facility off. They know that we can place a lien against them, but they don't care unless they intend to sell or refinance. But by gosh, if they know that we can put that unpaid bill on their tax rolls, they know that we're going to get paid eventually, once a year, every year.
Senator Morse?
I'm wondering, is there a solution here? It might not be everything you want, but it would advance in the event that you had the occasion you're talking about where you have one central meter. It's a landlord responsibility, but in the event that it's a landlord responsibility, it is, in fact, lienable. The problem that Senator Telfer's talking about is, you know, your landlord and the tenants are not paying their bills. Should the landlord be responsible for paying their bills? That's a little different, a little harder to go down that road. But if the landlord is responsible, then make the landlord, it is in fact lienable, and treat it as you would the same for a sewer. Is that something of interest?
Senator Burnick, Senator Morse, that actually is the current state of the law, is that if you're a multifamily dwelling of five or more, you, the property owner, are ultimately considered, under current law, the user of the service. So our proposal is to change it to two or more, and it does extend that additional tool to a water provider that it currently exists for a sewer provider. So there are some tools available. It's just that, for instance, as I mentioned, that the majority, 70% of the multifamily dwellings that are served by the city of Portland are duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. So we miss a very large percentage of these multifamily dwellings.
I'm confused. Not the first time. My understanding was that sewer is lienable, water is not, irrespective of whether it's 2 or 5 or 20. Is that correct?
Senator Burdick, Senator Morris, no, that's not correct. We cannot, we need probably be careful about how we use the term lien. For water, you can put a lien on the uncollected debt, but you can't transfer it to the county tax rolls. For the sewer only, you can transfer it to the county tax rolls. What we're looking for is the ability to transfer water debt as well as sewer debt to the county tax rolls. So that's one of the major portions of our proposals.
So you're looking,
as an option.
You're looking to transfer that even in a case where it's an owner-occupied property? To be able to do it in those cases as well?
As long, Senator Burdick, as long as it is a multifamily dwelling, yes.
Okay. So basically it would... I had the perfect question and I just forgot what it was. Okay. So in a case where the tenant is in charge, if you have a multifamily dwelling that's separately metered, in other words, each tenant is responsible for their own water bill, and yet it's the owner is not one of the tenants, let's say. You're proposing that you be able to put this on the owner's property tax.
Senator Burnett, yes, with notice to the property owner.
Okay, but you would be way far ahead, am I correct, if you had a situation where, in those situations that are separately metered, if you did not have this authority for those situations, but you did have this authority where it's a central meter.
Senator Burdick, yes, that's correct. The reason why we're way far ahead is they're separately metered because we don't have a problem shutting off a single meter that goes to a single account.
Right.
Our problem is that we don't really want to shut off a whole group of people because the property owner hasn't paid their bill.
But the bill takes into, but the bill doesn't distinguish between that. So if we were to change the bill and limit it to those cases where the owner, where you can only move against the person who's responsible for paying the bill.
Senator Burr, that's an improvement.
Move against
yes.
their property. And I assume that would solve some of your problems. Because if you had your
yeah.
tenant Mostly. Over in Bend who was not paying their water bill, then that would not allow the water company to come against you as the owner in this way. They could shut the water off, which they can do now, but not...
What happens if the tenants left, and you didn't even know the tenant had left, which happens. They leave in the middle of the night, and the owner, I just think the owner is being tagged with a whole bunch of responsibility here, who may or may not have a whole lot of connection to the,
right.
the day-to-day operations of the property.
What do you do now? Say there's a rental house, and the tenant flies off somewhere, and the owner's left holding the bag. What do you do now?
Senator Burnett, Senator Telfer, we attempt to collect from the owner. We will transfer the responsibility for that account to the owner. If the owner has property elsewhere in the city of Portland, where they have an account for us, we will attach that to their other account. So we will attempt to recover that debt. We're not always very successful.
Has this process of transferring liability to somebody who did not incur the expense ever been challenged in court?
Senator Burnick, Senator Telfer.
Small bills, so I can't imagine somebody going to court, but the legality of this hasn't been challenged.
I understand. We do it, and we do it successfully. I'm not aware of any certainly recent challenges. We do it now.
You do what
then? We transfer the liability or the responsibility for the unpaid debt to the property owner. If the tenant is, we can't find the tenant or the tenant's left, and we transfer that uncollected debt to the owner.
Let's follow up, if I may.
Please.
I understand that, but has it ever, it's probably never been challenged because the amount of money involved is a lot less than taking this thing to court, but I question the constitutionality of transferring a liability to somebody who did not incur the expense that just happens to be entitled to a piece of property.
Senator Burnick, Senator Telfer, I don't know.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, without making any commitments as to the bill itself, I'd like to get the city and League of Oregon Cities, as appropriate, to work on an amendment to narrow down the property tax authority to only those multi-dwelling units that have a central meter, to not allow this authority in cases where someone other than the owner is responsible for paying the bill, has the account. In other words, to narrow it down to only those cases where the owner is paying the bill so that you've got the nexus between the owner and the owner's property taxes. And we'll take a look at it then.
Senator Burdick, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you. Gil, looks like he wants to testify.
Since League of Cities took an opportunity, I thought I might not share. Thank you very much.
Courtesy.
Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I just want to emphasize that this is an expense that is being transferred to counties to take care of a problem that that some other jurisdiction has. And as you've heard from us in the context of Senate Bill 563 and others, our assessment and taxation system is stretched, and it is on the verge of imploding. That's why we've asked you to beef up the CAFA account, the Assessment Taxation Fund. This is another job to do without resources. And one thing that occurred to me while you were asking these questions and the confusion I saw in the committee is just saying that hard cases make bad law. And I would suggest this is just a bad idea.
Okay,
thank you.
I'll put you down as opposed. Okay. Thank you very much. And as we look at this bill, we should also, if people have any idea of some mechanism for compensating the counties for doing this, that would be a very positive thing to come up with. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 888, and we are adjourned.